All right, welcome in. Special breaking news edition of the Garden Report / the Kyrie Report, because, you know, we always find all things Kyrie interesting, maybe more so than several of our viewers and listeners who I do think tend to suffer from Kyrie fatigue. But again, the ripple effects of everything, anything that happens with this guy and this team, you know, and, you know, the potential balance of power shift when you create a volatile situation and a lot of pieces could be on the move is certainly of interest to the Celtics and Celtics fans. Plus, it's fun to revel in their misery. There's a lot of schadenfreude here. A lot of people love it. They love watching this ship go down. And right now it appears it's going down. A kind of surprising move, and I'll get Bobby's take first. I'll just give you the facts. Kyrie Irving is requesting a trade, according to Shams here, and it's well out there now just in terms of how people are reporting about it. But it sounds like, by all accounts, that Irving was on best behavior because he's trying to get himself a new deal. Nets might have been willing to play ball, but with some stipulations. Irving didn't like what he heard and basically took his ball and went home and said, okay, I'm going to sabotage this season that's actually going relatively well, and I want out. And if he leaves, or if they do trade him and they're not able to kind of rebuild on the fly, you know, or reload on the fly, what does that mean for Kevin Durant? How quickly can they execute things? You have the trade deadline coming up very fast. I don't know. So Bobby, just initial reaction to this. And again, I'm going to immediately take full accountability for one of my worst takes, probably my worst take since Mo Brown. This looked, after they played them, my take was, hey, for better, for worse, get out of here. You could be wrong and not have to apologize. But it looked like it was headed towards, they're better off together than apart, right?
You always want to believe in them, John.
I don't want to believe. All I'm saying is I've always felt they're better together than apart. And it sounded like we were like, Kyrie's going to do something kooky and blow the season apart. And it felt like he wasn't, because no matter what he did, Bobby, and this is what perplexes me, doing this to Brooklyn makes any team you might be traded to or what would sign you long term also believe you could do it to them. So I never thought it would be in Kyrie's best interest ever to do this. I would think he would just play it out on his best behavior and then resign. There's no win. There's no angle to this for him. That's what I don't get. There's no angle other than screw you, I don't like what you're saying, I'm out of here. But in terms of himself, it's much smarter to just be the good soldier all year. They either resign you or you're free, and then go be free. Why show the world that you are volatile all over again? I don't know how that helps him.
He already did that with the suspension, and yeah, they bounce back. They play well. They're good for 4 weeks there under Jack Vaughn after firing Steve Nash. But you always wondered what was next, what was going to be around the corner. And the thing that always loomed was the contract. The Nets never wanted to offer him a contract last offseason. He threatened to leave then by throwing the mid-level exception possibility with the Lakers out there. That was always his leverage play. And they stood their ground, just like they stood their ground with Kevin Durant, and he came back on the player option. And I'd imagine that the Nets want to take this year to year. I bet they offered him next year, and who knows, a team option on the second year, or non-guaranteed money, or maybe games played stipulations, which we've talked about with
them. A way out of the contract, an automatic void if he were to do something to violate a particular clause. You know how some people would have weight clauses or things like that, whether there's a basically don't be an asshole, don't be a kooky nut job, clause, where anything that would violate any sort of team, you know, conduct or standards. But I don't know. I'm surprised. The whole thing is surprising to me.
It's not surprising, because even though he's played well this year, even though they've had some success, did he do anything that would have made you offer him a max contract?
No, again.
That was always the point of contention. And as surprised as we were during the Kevin Durant trade saga, I think that's where his disdain stemmed from.
It's not signing him. It's always
commit to him.
It's always what's worse. Here's the thing. It's like, again, if you're stuck in, is it a risk giving Kyrie Irving a long-term deal guaranteed? Yeah. Is it a guarantee that it's going to work out for me? No, definitely not. Am I worse off if I don't do this? Yeah, probably. You know, you're trading a guy for pennies on the dollar with no contract. You're trading not only a guy with behavioral issues, but a guy who controls his own destiny next year, who is obviously a flight risk for whoever gets him. I mean, you can't have lower value than you have now. So the option is give him away for next to nothing right now, or whatever you can muster, or pay him and then try to trade that contract later on down the road, even if you have to eat something. But right now, it's an absolute lose situation, wouldn't you think? Like, anybody bringing him in, I can't imagine the Nets are going to get much of a haul out of the deal. It's trash for trash right now. You're talking about, like, what, Westbrook?
Yeah, and they won't. So you have to think this is the end of Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, too, if they're going to trade him. There's no deal they can pull off now that will put a product in position for the Nets to compete with Durant there. So that's the next shoe to drop. So what the Nets are going to have to do here is weigh giving Kyrie the contract he wants and keeping this thing together and keep walking on these eggshells into the future, which is where we were over the summer. They avoided doing that. And now they're on the timer again. They have less than a week here to make that huge decision. And you would have said over the summer, just do it, just to keep this together. But then you see what happens with the suspension situation. And we thought during that saga that that might be the end of Irving how much controversy he was embroiled in. So they're in an impossible spot. I don't know what I do in that position now. I think their only choice is to offer him the contract, right?
I think their best choice is to offer him the contract, but they don't want to. I think that Kevin Durant very well could, ask to go out. What's interesting in this situation is, obviously, trades are complicated, but if you find somebody to take on Kyrie and you can build a little bit and kind of give up on this, like I said, it all depends on what the organization wants to do. If you finally recognize, because you've got the albatross of Simmons right now, what are you going to do with that? You know, you're stuck with it.
That's another factor here, possibly.
It's a factor. And so you're stuck with that. So it is hard. It is really hard to reload. You really have to look at rebuild. And you have to now decide.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe trade Irving for the two Lakers first right now. Trade Durant for as much as you can possibly get. And there would be buyers out there for Durant at the deadline. Maybe you could get seven first with swaps and all that.
Be back there, but you got to change your mindset a week ago, they're like, we're going to get KD back and we're right in this East mix and we are a contender, to we're going to blow it up, start all over, and maybe in 3-4 years we'll be okay.
All right, fair point. So I don't love their ability to pull off a Durant trade before the deadline, and certainly we're not there yet.
Why, though? Why? Because I think it's more likely than you think.
Well, I think it's too hard. Remember how it went over the offseason? Like, the Celtics poked in, and they're like, all right, we'll give one first, and you got to get everything for him.
You've already done a lot of legwork, which is to say you've already been offered something by the Celtics, by the Suns, by the Raptors. You have the offers. You knew what they were willing to give. You reopen it exactly at that point in the negotiation. You don't have to play around with it. You actually have a pretty good idea what those teams were willing to trade. Now, looking at those teams and their situations and whatever they're in, Phoenix is more desperate for Durant than they were before. Toronto
and they can trade Ayton now.
And they could trade Ayton now. Toronto is right now in a, do we blow it up or try to do something and go for it and ship some young pieces?
Toronto can offer a lot.
You want to put Barnes back on the table, you can offer that too. So all of a sudden, those teams before, they were in different situations. You can reopen those negotiations exactly there. I think it's more likely, not more likely, I think you have a very decent chance of being
so
able
like
to move
Durant
if you choose to go there.
Yeah, it might be a blessing, but it depends what you can put together over 6 days now, which sounds difficult. And of course, you have to find a suitor for Irving first. Now,
because they don't have to change him, right? Like, they don't have to trade Durant. They can say, we tried, and then revisit in the offseason. It's not like it expires. Irving has to go, or he walks for nothing, or he holds out for the season. You can go. You still have leverage with Durant. We tried everything we could, and we couldn't do it, and then revisit in the offseason again and get another haul. You absolutely can do that.
Yeah, they have the advantage of his contract, as they did before. So they're in a position of strength here, and they've leveraged that already last offseason to keep this collective together. The fear is that they look at it like I just did for a second and say, can we just hold this together for another half season here? But it doesn't seem worth it at this point. There's no upside. There's too much nonsense. And the X factor, Ben Simmons, went about as poorly as anyone could have imagined. He's just hopeless at this point.
I think it could have gone worse. I think, you are an insanely difficult critic. I think if Ben Simmons came into this league a year ago and this is the type of player he was, nobody would be handing him all-star.
But I'm saying in terms of fitting on this contract, helping them out.
But he's not useless. He's not a useless player. He's just an albatross because he doesn't. His performance no longer justifies that contract.
And he's always hurt now, too.
All right, let's take a pause and talk about our exclusive wagering partner, and that, of course, is BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, NHL, and more. You will always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Yes, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure you use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Once again, CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. He's a complimentary piece at best, and that's it. So you're right. I mean, you're stuck with that, which stinks, which stinks.
And you know what? I've had this developing take, and it's a big one going into the deadline that, and people have written about this too. There's such an urgency around the league to buy or stand pat that if you do sell, you can gain so much. Look at what the Jazz have done. Look at what the New Orleans Pelicans did with Holiday and Davis and the Thunder. These teams are in great positions because they made the difficult decisions to take a step back, sell guys that other teams really wanted, and then you're just loaded with draft picks.
Yep.
If you bring back, let's say they you're not going to get anything in terms of players from the Lakers, but those two picks maybe look great in 27 and 29 once the Lakers disband. At that point, you would think they'll be done with this old core. And then you get, let's say, Bridges and Ayton from the Suns who are in town tonight and all of their future picks. You can look pretty good as the Nets again in short order. And that's not exactly what the Celtics did after they lost Irving and all those guys, but Brown and Tatum just got so good so fast. And then you mixed in some other guys that you were right back on your feet after a really horrific offseason. So you can turn this around fast if you're the Nets. We've talked about this with the Bulls, with the Raptors, with all these teams that are in such tough spots, even the Heat. Just sell. I think you're right, John. Just let Durant go and get as much as you possibly can for him right now and move on. Because this you've tried this experiment now. This is what, year four of Durant Kyrie? You've won one series against the Celtics team with Romeo Langford starting.
Why do you have to?
It's not going
anywhere.
What
did Romeo do to deserve that? Okay.
Just the reality.
Innocent victim, innocent bystander here in this. But yeah, I mean, obviously you were a bad team and you lost Jaylen Brown right before the playoffs. That's the team. That's your series win. Congratulations.
So let's go back to Kyrie quick. Why is he doing you think it's just a contract? Was it the blowout the other night?
No.
Like, why?
I think it's a – I mean, the most sensible thing is simply, it's the contract.
You're right, though. He could have – with a good season, with a good playoff run, they had that little thing going for 4 weeks. He could have earned it
Look
in Brooklyn.
It's this is the problem. It's again, it's, you know, you're not able to think two steps ahead. Obviously, the smart thing for Kyrie would have been to try to play it out. And show everybody that you're different, you're changed, you can behave, you can do all of that stuff. Because there's a ton of concerns you obviously had. I mean, look at his last 18 months between everything that went on with the vaccine situation and the team telling him to go screw and, you know, just all of that stuff that went on over to the anti-Semitic stuff and his refusal to kind of back down. And so, I mean, he's had two team imposed bans. And again, we talked about this. You're looking at 4 years, three public trade requests from these teams, two team-imposed bans of a player or suspensions, both Irving for the vaccine and Irving for the anti-Semitic, one playoff win. That's what this core has gotten you. It's freaking ridiculous. But I don't understand the thinking now.
Not to mention the Harden debacle 1 year ago.
That's what I'm talking about, the Harden debacle. Every single player on this team has requested a trade, every single one of this core. It's unbelievable. But for Kyrie to do it, again, it's just so petulant. I compare it to like my children. Like, you get one of your kids in trouble for doing something, they swear they won't do it again. They behave for like 8 hours and they're like, have I been good long enough to earn back my Xbox? And you're like, no. And then they throw another tantrum. Like, well, you're not getting it now. You know, like, this is what happened. Like, Kyrie was like, I feel like I've been good for long enough. Can I have all of my money? And they're like, no, man. And he friggin' flips out again. So then you're justified in not having given it to him because he's just kind of showing you, yeah, I'm definitely a risk. I'm definitely a risky dude. So him doing it again is just, it just harms him. I don't get it.
Yeah. And somehow you're still intrigued by how he could help the Lakers. Yeah, and that's
bad decisions. And he will help the Lakers. That's the problem. A guy like Kyrie Irving, there's athletes like this everywhere, Bobby. They have expiration dates, right? It's not a matter of if it's going to go bad. It's when, right? You know, and you know it. It's a certainty. So if you're the Lakers, you sign him to a 3-year deal. You're hoping he keeps his head on straight for a year and a half. Maybe you get through 2 years. It's going to go bad. Automatic. I guarantee if he goes to the Lakers, the rest of this year will be smooth. I'm so happy here explaining why the other place was bad and now he's free and blah, blah, blah. That's what these guys do. The last place, they didn't understand me. Now I'm over here with people who get me and blah, 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 blah. And then it's going to go bad again. It's automatic. So, you know.
Yeah, and they should try it. They're the only team I think should try it is because they're in such a bad position right now. We talked about it after that game on Saturday. They can't shoot. And at the very least, Irving can come in and shoot the ball. You're giving up your future, but I think your future's already toast there in L.A. anyway, so you have to just try to get the best out of this season that you possibly can.
What are you doing there, though? It's going to be Westbrook, Durant, and Simmons? Like, oh my goodness.
That's where you have to trade Durant.
At that point, it's over.
It's got to be over for Durant right now. And again, I can't, unless this Irving leverage play works out so well and the Nets are just terrified, which I don't think their owner is. Remember, he tweeted in defense of his coach, in defense of his GM after the Durant request to fire both of them. I think the owner's willing to move on from Irving in this moment and move on from Durant. And regain control of the franchise, because I think this whole era has been such a mark on the franchise and the culture that they want to build and everything they were trying to accomplish there. It just completely manipulated what they were trying to do, and it hasn't gained them anything. Like we said, one playoff win, one playoff series win. So I think this is almost a blessing in disguise for them. Just move on and see if you can rebuild and see if you can take advantage. It stinks because your picks are going to Houston. Houston's probably doing backflips today.
Yep, that's the downside. Full Tankapalooza is just going in the it's absolutely helping out another team. That's the worst thing about it is there is no incentive to being bad, which is why when the first trade requests came through with Durant, they didn't want to go there. They refused to trade for parts and go backwards because they couldn't reap the benefits of their own picks while they rebuilt. They have to reload rather than rebuild. It's a tough when you don't have your own draft picks. And again, this is why I'm always, when we talk about the Celtics and trading picks, Yeah, you don't ever expect to be there. No team does when you trade future picks, but there you are, you know, and it's now it could happen to the Nets again after having had that same problem vis-a-vis, you know, the Celtics trade situations where you hit rock bottom at a time where you've got none of your own picks to show for it. And that's bad. That's the worst case scenario. So that's the disincentive.
That makes the decision to rebuild difficult. And that's where the
disincentive. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the Bulls are. Cause they owe the Magic a pick and everybody, it almost feels like every team that's traded all their future picks ends up in this position, which isn't good news for my take, which is always going to trade these picks.
That's why you can't go too far down the road. You can only do it for what you would consider to be guarantees. And in many cases, they did do it. You consider James Harden to be a rock, somebody you want here. If it's not.
Or George, rather.
You consider them to be guarantees, like foundational player. I'd be spending all of my picks trying to get somebody half as good as them. You know, I get that for sure. But that's what we have right now. This conversation inevitably is going to steer itself to a place that some people don't want to go. And I'm going to warn you about that because we're going to go there in just a minute. And I think a lot of you understand what that direction is going to be. Maybe Bobby doesn't yet, but I think he does. Before that, we want to tell you about one of our sponsors here at the Garden Report, and that is Athletic Greens. I don't know. We might have some new daytime viewers we don't normally get on the Garden Report. So if not, we want to tell you about this product. It is a daily supplement that you take in the morning, 75 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, adaptogens, bang, cup of water, you're done for the day. You don't have to go chasing a bunch of different pills, supplements, all of that. If you are interested in kind of this one-stop shopping supplement to take care of all those needs, we're talking about recovery, your immune system, better sleep quality, better gut health, a lot of different things that, again, I'm sure you're going out and taking one of this and one of that and then drinking this and having that. Just boom, AG1 takes care of all your needs at once. Go to athleticgreens.com/gardenfree, 1 year supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs, and that's what you get with your initial purchase. We will also, at the Garden Report, give you a free, phenomenal t-shirt. We also have a very fun-looking Garden Report t-shirt coming out.
I love it.
I think it's a ton of fun. According to Shams here, Lakers, Phoenix, Dallas emerged as potential suitors. Again, potential suitors could mean a lot of different things. But that is where we are at with it right now. Where are we going, Bobby? Yeah, we're going here. So this is where it's going to go. Because I'm guessing
we're going to flip from our summer conversation.
This is where it's going. And here is why. We were there already. We had this conversation, and it is really funny which camps we were in then and which camps we are in now. If it comes down to it, and the Celtics, again, the report back then was they were interested. The report back then was the Celtics were willing to go as high as Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and was it a pick or two? I can't remember what it was.
First rounder, yeah.
A single first rounder. Brooklyn was looking for multiple first rounders. Durant and I believe Smart and maybe Smart, one other player. Yeah. So that wasn't ridiculous. And then we had the debate. Okay, fine. There's a price. There's only so much you're willing to pay, but how much is that so much? And then obviously when you have Malcolm Brogdon in the mix, now you've got kind of a bit of some redundancy at guard. It's a nice luxury to have, but certainly you're not going to be worried about parting with Derek White as good as he's been in the role that they've asked him to play. If that's the sticking point between getting Durant and not getting Durant. But then there's the whole, well, you got to give up on Jaylen Brown if you do that. And everyone loves Jaylen, and Jaylen's an all-star, and it's the Jays, and it's the homegrown talent, and it makes a lot of sense, and he's much younger. But I don't know. And again, let's just tell you where we were. Bobby was, yeah, you got to trade for Durant. And I was, I don't trust it. I don't trust the age. I think he's going to fall off a cliff at some point. And I'm afraid he could just kind of say, I don't like it here anymore. But I don't know anymore. So I'll ask you, Bobby, if it starts getting talked about again, what side are you on?
So let's just say Durant didn't fall off a cliff this year. Probably as good, big of an MVP candidate as anyone. I think you saw all the reasons that I really wanted him here and that I would have given up Brown for him. But two big things changed, obviously. The Celtics showed that they're the best team in the league with the core that they have, especially considering the way that the role guys have fit in alongside Brown and Tatum and the way that they've made progress themselves. But you also have Brown hurtling toward all-NBA status. So one of the lingering concerns we had when we had that conversation, and certainly I had, is that Brown might leave in 2024 and that you can get ahead of that by trading Brown for Durant now. I think Brown's going to make All-NBA, and I think he'll accept the Supermax contract extension if he makes All-NBA. So I think you can keep Brown. I think you can keep that core together for the foreseeable future, and I think you can win a championship with this core. I'm not 1,000% convinced. There's still some flaws and holes and things that they have to work around here. But I think it's a much more awkward fit, especially at the deadline, certainly, to do something like that now. Plus, we just talked about the price. They want to sell Durant, if they do, at the highest possible return. So what are we talking about? Brown, White, all your future first-round picks? Do they ask for Rob, too? This is the difficulty we had in the summer, too. I don't think there's any world where you can just swap Brown for Durant straight up. If that was the deal, I'd think about it, but it's not going to be.
It's not going to be because also there's a money situation involved. I mean, you have to find – you're not close on the JB versus KD salaries. You've got to find some money to throw in there. Could you do it with spare parts? You can come close, but – it's hard. It's harder to do. But yes, if the core pieces, again, I want to be clear, the chat here hates it. Hates it. Most Celtics fans hated it before the season.
Well, where could Durant
go? JB is having one of his better seasons. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very, very against it at the beginning of the year. Very against it. I'm not so sure anymore. I just, again, when you look at it, I've always contended that Jaylen Brown is phenomenal at what he does, and he's an outstanding scorer. I don't know that the next level people think exists is there. Not a big level.
Not Durant. He's not going to be Durant ever.
There's no chance he's ever as good as Kevin Durant is today. Kevin Durant is legitimately on a higher tier. It's no joke. You're just simply talking about length of time. How long can Kevin Durant be great? But it's not as close as people think it is. And again, I had a different opinion before the year, but after watching Durant again for the majority of this year, and again, people are like, he suffered an injury. These are not wear and tear injuries that Durant is suffering. Their freakish knee gets folded up on by another player sort of things that happen where you tweak. That's not injury prone. That's just bad luck. He's not a guy out there pulling hamstrings and groins and X, Y, and Z left and right. And he's always, always, always hurt. He's not Gordon Hayward. These are a little bit freakish here, these two. But again, coming off an Achilles, back-to-back meniscus, 34 years old. How many more years? I didn't think you had that many, but I'm watching him play this year, and I'm like, this guy might be the MVP today. I don't know how you don't seriously think about it. It's a really tough one. If Durant was 2 years younger, you do it without blinking. But you are wondering, at what point are you paying for past performance? You know,
I don't think, but you have to
weigh that versus JB leaving. And I don't know. I don't know what he does, man.
I don't think you can do it today. Obviously, he arrives in Boston today hurt for the foreseeable future. So that eliminates it as much as anything. Not to mention the different layers of stuff you'd have to give up on top of it, and the timing, and the position they're in. There's zero chance they even consider it, John, right now. Now, if you lose the finals or fall well short of the finals, and there's some holes in your armor going into the offseason, and that's when Brooklyn decides to move Durant, I think you have a longer conversation and thought about it. But I think even you can agree there's no chance they do it this week, even if it was possible.
Seems like a low possibility.
I'd say none. I don't think they'll even consider it this time.
The Celtics?
No. Yeah, I don't think they will.
It's so funny.
The bidding's just going to get too high.
These comments crack me up. Why are people certain I'm not certain JB stays. I'm not certain. I think if he makes all NBA and there's a Supermax available, yeah, I think that's more likely. I'm certainly not certain, but anyway, well, that's just me.
Well, if he doesn't get the Supermax, the way the contract's structured, where you can only do 20% raises on the next extension, he's going to free agency. So yes, there's no extension if he doesn't make all NBA. So it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
So he's going to free agency. If
you need him right now, if I were Wick, I would be paying the media. If and I want to keep him, it's going to cost you, but it's the way you keep him. If that's what you want to do. I'm not certain of it. Like, I'm not certain of anything, but anyway.
Wick pays the media for all NBA.
Yeah. For all NBA. I don't know. I don't think it happens. I think I would consider it, and I would not have considered it before.
Yeah.
Who cares if he's hurt today? I mean, you're prohibitive favorites if Durant joined the team. You are.
You know, but it takes some time to figure out how it works. And that was
you give him the ball and he scores 57% of the time. That's how it works. And Tatum never sees a double team again. And they both average 34 the rest of the way.
Well, he hasn't seen many double teams this year. It's one of those things, John. If they don't win the championship, you're going to be like, oh, Kevin Durant was there.
I know. You and I are literally having each other's argument right now from before the season. Everything I said, you were saying, and everything you said, I were saying. It's so weird to be on the opposite side. Hey, Jaylen Brown is not untouchable. Jaylen Brown is not untouchable. I'm sorry, guys. He's not. Not for Kevin Durant. It's not untouchable. You're going to have the conversation. But, again, I flipped
it's
on it.
Yeah, it's tough because, like you said, you become prohibitive favorites. And there's no guarantee right now, even with what you're doing, that you win it all. And this is – it's so hard for me. And, fans look at it two different ways. I think there's fans out there who say, I love this, even if they fall short. I love rooting for Brown. I love this team. Let's keep riding this journey right now. But I think there's other fans who look at it and say, 2008 was a long time ago. And you're never guaranteed that window, and you have it right now. And if you fall short, maybe you have it next year. The year after that, you still have it. Of course, Brown's free agency comes up. And you just don't know when you'll have these opportunities to really go all in on a championship. And that was my thinking over the summer. I think he just put you so close to lock that you go ahead and do that. I think right now, if you keep what you have, you're in a better position than giving up White, Brown, picks for Durant and then trying to fit him in, trying to keep him healthy, all those different things. So I'll think about it and discuss it. I don't think they will. And I'm going to make the tough decision to roll with Brown and Tatum, which isn't too tough, but again, it's not a slam dunk either.
It's so safe and it's the easy move, and it very well might be the right move. But I just think both I at the beginning of the year and people currently are underestimating the difference between these two players, which is much greater than people are giving credit for. And what I said was Durant is here and JB is here. But if Durant comes down and JB goes up, they're closer to the same level. But on this year, even with Brown playing as well as he's playing, it's still there's a big difference. There's a difference there. That's again, it's another level. It's another level. Durant is that
well.
Good. He is that
let's
good.
Think about this.
It is simply an age. It is simply age. The players swapping them out. If they were the same exact age, obviously the only argument against it is age. This idea of chemistry or blah 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 or sticking with it. No. They would love playing with Durant. Durant is a total. He's a team player. He plays defense. He's a real ball player, man. He's not just a scorer. They would love.
Yeah,
playing
I think
with
all
Durant.
The concern. I think all the concerns.
It's
about
just
him.
The age. But people sitting here thinking like the players, they're not close. It's just it's a real risk.
Yeah, and the other thing we have to think about now here is would the Nets even say yes at this point? You don't have quality future first round picks. Brown signed for 1 year. So you're going to lose him if you're the Nets. So that ship sailed.
This is a good point here by this commenter here. Yeah. Imagine if Jalen, we made the All-Star game. We're brothers. We're sticking it out. If his name gets dangled again.
That's the other fact.
If you're Brad, you have to, because that's the problem is if you are interested.
When Sean Marks appears on your phone. Yeah. When Sean Marks appears on your phone this time, you're just going to have to double tap it.
Yeah.
You can't even get on the phone. Then when the Nets try to leak out the Celtics, you can just screenshot that you ignored the call.
Oh my God. Right. Honestly, like right now, like you talked about it.
Because that's the story that the Celtics told, right? After the offseason discussions and his name appearing in the report is that it was more the Nets than the Celtics.
You said it during the year. And again, this is so funny because you and I are completely flipped in how we're approaching this. You said during the offseason the Celtics had to come out and deny, and we were all like, that's ridiculous. Honestly, if you're the Celtics at this point, you may honestly have to deny that you have any interest so Jalen doesn't catch whiff of even a fake report. Because if he does, oh my God, he does not forget stuff. And it's a really excellent point by that commenter. If he hears about it, holy crap, man.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They're in a great position right now where they don't even have to consider it, which is good.
Yeah.
And who knows what the Nets are going to do here. I'm so intrigued by this because it really is such a tough spot for them, and they're going to have to make it fast because the deadline is just 6 days away as we sit here. And fortunately, the Celtics are probably just going to weigh a big man or something like that. And we'll, of course, have all the coverage into next week and through these upcoming games. Fun to have Phoenix in town tonight, though, the team that probably would be the prohibitive favorite to land Durant. So we'll see what the chatter is around the arena. I'm sure there'll be scouts there and all the rest. So I can't wait to hear what's being said on the ground tonight at TD Garden about this crazy, crazy news.
Yeah, it is interesting. And again, you're right. Phoenix is in there in the mix for sure.
Phoenix, by the way, in the mix. I just saw the report, right, for Irving. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Not one bit when you have – not one bit. None at all. What are you doing? Sending Chris Paul back?
Yeah, it's not happening. You're waiting on Durant if you're Phoenix. And then you offer Bridges, Ayton, and 7 first-round picks. And that should get it done this time around. Maybe Cam Johnson, too.
We got a lot of people in this room, Bobby. I feel bad to wrap it up. We are going to wrap it a little bit. Bobby Manning does have to head to the Garden and do some actual reporting. I know we will talk about this again. Josue Pavone is also there, as is obviously our super producer, Amit, heading down to kind of gather. It'll be interesting. Obviously, I don't know what you'll get in terms of Celtics' reaction to it. I am interesting if they do talk about it at all. But again, it is super interesting. Because again of the ripple effects that it's going to have, if Kyrie does in fact get traded, and what happens to everybody else.
Poor Durant, he's given everything he could to that situation to try to make it work. And I obviously was critical of how he handled things over the offseason, but you can't knock how he's played. He's done everything he could to play as great as possible, and everything around him is just self-combusted. Bad coach. I don't know what role he played in hiring Nash. Maybe you criticize him for that. Bad decision pairing up with Irving. And I think Harden just totally screwed everybody there with his decision a year ago. So poor Durant. I hope it works out well for Durant.
So funny. Durant is the obvious good guy in all of this because the other guys are clowns. Durant wanted to do his
own thing. By the way, third team Irving's given up on.
That's the problem is Durant. Again, you can fault him for, taking the easy way out to go to Golden State. But I mean, again, you want to win a ring, man. Don't a lot of people try to do that? I understand that he's got, it bothers him when people say that. But like, holy crap, that team with him on it was on a different level. Then he gets his feelings hurt and wants to go do his own thing and create his own legacy. He just partnered with the wrong guys, but he's still here. He's still balling on a nightly basis. You have Harden, who just shamefully quit again very early in his tenure with Brooklyn to get his way out of town. That's the second team he had done that on in a matter of months. It's embarrassing. And then, as you said, Kyrie just kind of not being happy in three seemingly outstanding situations, once paired with the greatest player in the world, another time with a young and ascending core that he could have very well been the leader of if he'd accepted that responsibility and actually taken the reins, and then building a super team and then just acting like an ass. So again, so much of this is of their own making. I think that, like I said, there's a lot of schadenfreude right now because a lot of people wanted to see this team fail just for this collection of people. I don't know. It's really interesting. And it's amazing how tight to the deadline this is, Bobby. And, you know, what a scramble it's going to be over the next few days, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it creates some good action around the league, too, if something like that happens. Obviously, Dallas, everything changes if they acquire him. I wouldn't if I was them, but I understand the temptation when they don't have a straight path to another star next to Luka and the clock's ticking on Luka holding out there. I'm sure Luka, we know how players feel about Kyrie. We talked about it after the All-Star voting, John.
They love him.
Probably likes the idea of playing with Irving rather than...
Players love him.
Spencer Dinwiddie or whoever he's been paired with there already. So that's an intriguing possibility. They don't have all their future picks, but they certainly have more than the Lakers. So that could actually end up being a helpful bidding war for the Nets if Dallas and LA start butting heads over that. I've heard the Clippers mentioned too. I don't see that one. They don't have any picks.
Let's be serious. Some reports of multiple teams being interested all at once seems obviously planted by the Nets side of things. We'll see who is legitimately serious. Reality is, outside of the Lakers, I don't think anyone is legitimately serious about getting Kyrie Irving. But again, what do we know? I just think it would be silly. It has to be a desperate team that can look at that situation and say, it's better than what we got. And we've got to do something. There's not a lot of other teams like that. No team is rolling the dice on this guy and sending a piece of their core that they feel good about. Nobody is doing that. So I don't believe in any of the reports about Irving suitors, but I do believe that if he does go, people are going to come hard at KD.
Are the Heat an Irving suitor, possibly?
Maybe. I have seen people mention that as well.
Yeah, they just have such a broken situation with Lowry, and they have some picks to offer, not many either.
It's not a lot. You're not going to you can't reload through going through Miami. You can through other teams, but again, I really don't see it. I think you got to dump.
Take back that awful Lowry contract too. If you're Brooklyn, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so you're stuck there. But anyway, as I said, we are going to wrap it, even though we're gonna the viewership keeps growing because we do have here's Nick Gelso chiming in. We do have to get Bobby out the door, he's got to get his scarf and his mittens because it's going to be nasty out there.
Oh, I already walking in the shoe run this morning. You couldn't even stand up straight out there. It's bad.
Yeah, the wind too. So anyway, thank you guys for hanging. We're back in a few hours, so we'll continue this conversation in addition to talking about Jaylen Brown, the All-Star. Bobby Manning reported from practice today. Jaylen talked. You can check all of that stuff out on our YouTube page. Celtics All Access, obviously follow us over at CLNS Media as we, I can't continue, Luis. I can't go on my own. I can't monologue it.
I'm probably going to meet up with, Joe Sway, and we'll see if we see Sherrod down there too, and do a segment about it and see what we hear pregame from down there. So we'll have plenty of coverage at the Garden.
Yep.
Should be a good game tonight, too. We'll see what the Suns can muster. But yep, we'll talk about post-game. Come join us post-game.
Join us post-game, guys. Thank you guys again for hanging out. Bobby Manning, John Zanis, we will see you.